This is the Walking Leader Podcast. My name is David Guerra. I am your host. I am the author of The Walking Leader and Great to Follow. I thank you for stopping by. I thank you for downloading, and I welcome you to episode 67. We're going to continue with the closing of the Bad Leaders Aren't Leaders series. That's right. It's where I've been dissecting and digging deeper and looking into those examples of leaders being, well, bad leaders. And they're out there. So we're going to start wrapping this up. I've had several, 20 episodes so far of bad leader examples, and there's still more. But we're going to wrap this up. We got to move on. We're going to change to a new topic, new outlook. It's a new year, so why not? Now, let's get down to it. Let's get down to episode 67, Bad Leaders Aren't, number 21. Here we go. Now, again, some of these will sound repetitive, but as I start fine-tuning it and working it down and squashing it down to its basic core, you'll see it's a little different than what I've mentioned. Take, for example, I've been using Brad. Brad's too easy, so we're going to not talk about Brad. We talked about Brad for two episodes. You know Brad. You know Brad. Everybody has a Brad. Everybody, and if you've worked anywhere for any extended period of time, if you've had bosses and quote-unquote leaders that have come in, you've had a Brad. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then I do recommend you go back the past two episodes and you can hear the story of Brad. So, in this next example, we'll call our friend Carl. How's that? And Carl is one of those guys that wants to please everybody except for the people that he's in charge of. Because somewhere along the line, somebody told Carl that if you please your people and you pay attention to them, they're going to walk all over you. They are just going to take advantage of you, and there's nothing you can do about it, because once they've got you for good. So that's not good. And that's not good for Carl. Okay, because Carl, Carl wants to be everybody's friend, but like, by that same token, he can't be everybody's friend. And he knows that. So who does he choose? He chooses to be everybody else's friend, but the people that he's a task to lead, that he's been tasked to lead, been assigned to manage. He won't believe them because, he knows his people and he's there to lead them, and they don't know anything. He's there to manage them. He's there to teach them. And they don't know anything, because if they did, they would be the manager and Carl would not. So, where does that put Carl and everybody else? Well, it puts Carl as one of those bad leaders that, in some situations, believes what others say and does not ask his employees if it is true or not. That, my friends, is a bad leader. See, Carl is quick to believe everybody else because, again, he's there to save them. He's there to lead them. He's there to pull them out of whatever dire situation they're in, and he's going to bring them to the promised land. But it doesn't work that way for Carl. See, Carl starts losing confidence. He starts losing trust. Yes, his people no longer trust him, no longer want to believe him, no longer come to him for solutions, because, again, when there's a problem, Carl will not side with his people. See, as a leader, you have got to set the standard right from the very beginning. As a leader, you've got to tell him, look, I will go to bat for you 100%. I will do whatever I can for you 100%. So long as you do not blindside me. Blindside me and all bets are off. Folks, there's absolutely nothing wrong with telling your people that. So long as you believe it, and so long as you believe that you'll do it. Because again, if you're going to have to trust them, they're going to have to trust you. But the moment that they use that trust to their advantage and they manipulate you, all bets are off. And yes, I would not blame Carl for believing what others say as opposed to his own employees. However, if they haven't proven him or disproven him otherwise, to say that, every time that they come to him, it's been valid, it's true, it's the best to their ability, it's correct, then why would Carl have any reason to believe what others say? See, people are in a self-preservation mode, and they will do anything and say anything to stay relevant, to stay current, to stay, in some cases, to stay employed. And that's not a good thing. Because what's wrong with just saying the truth? What's wrong with saying, you know what? We just messed up. You know what? You're right. Your people were correct. We were wrong. There's absolutely nothing wrong with saying that. I have more respect for the person that says, you know what? I was wrong, than to start blaming other people. Don't be like Carl. Now, speaking of Carl and believing others and not believing others, and telling people that you trust them and to not let you down. Well, you know what? There's still another type of bad leader. He doesn't set the example, but makes examples of others. And that's not a good thing either. That never is. Because he will say, I'm going to go take an hour lunch. That's fine. You know, some places have hour lunches. Some places have 30-minute lunches. It just depends on the nature of the beast. But when you take that lunch, that's fine. But somebody else takes the hour lunch and doesn't come back for an hour and 5 minutes or 10 minutes. You know what? Something's wrong there. So what does a leader do? What does Carl do? Well, he makes examples of those people. Folks, you're supposed to be there in an hour. You're supposed to take an hour. They don't know. Carl doesn't know what went on because Carl doesn't want to hear it. He's going to take these people and string them up and make examples of them for coming in an hour and 5 minutes late. But when Carl comes in an hour and 5 minutes late, hey, how y'all doing? Got to get back to work. When Carl comes in an hour and 30 minutes late, what does he say? He's not setting a good example. But Carl will make an example of his people because that's the way Carl is. Carl's there to lead them. Carl's there to save them from themselves. And there's Carls out there. There's Carls just like that out there. Now, there's other examples I could use, and I probably will use them at a later time. But right now, we're going to keep moving. I'm going to say a four-letter word. And I understand it's a not suitable for work word, but it is a word that we use, that people use. And people use it a lot. And people use it a lot because they misunderstand that word, because they don't really truly know what that word means and how far it goes and how deep that four-letter word cuts. See, when it cuts, they don't look at that. They just think that they got over on somebody, that they set somebody in their place, and that they told them where in life they belong and what their place in society is. See, that four-letter word is hate. I kid you not. I kid you not. I had a non-commissioned officer when I was in the Army. I just arrived. And he looked at me. Now, this guy had been in the military a good, you know, six, seven, or eight years ahead of me. Okay, maybe four or five, but six is a safe number. I don't know why I want to say six, but it's a safe number. This non-commissioned officer in the United States Army, which everybody from every walk and every corner of the United States, if they can make it, they can join, they can do it, they can be there. So obviously it's the melting pot. It's a true melting pot, an example of what the United States is. This guy was a non-commissioned officer. Obviously, he told somebody he could lead. Obviously, he convinced a board of other non-commissioned officers that he should be a non-commissioned officer and that he should be a leader of men. I kid you not. I've got nothing to gain by saying this, and I've got everything to lose by lying. And I'm not lying. This guy just flat out looked me right in the eye and said, I don't like your kind. I don't like your kind of people. Now, new guy. Now, don't get me wrong. My father was in the military, and so I grew up in the military. So I experienced it at a different level, but I never experienced it or even expected it from the guy that's supposed to be leading me, from the guy that I'm supposed to turn to for answers, the guy that's supposed to look out for my welfare, my morale. And he's telling me this? Well, needless to say, I mean, I was a young private. What could I do? I couldn't flat out deck him. I'd end up in the brig. So what did I end up doing? I ended up being the best soldier I could be, whether he liked it or not. I mean, I got the military promoted me. The Army promoted me. He didn't want me to wear the rank because he didn't believe I should be promoted. because of the color of my skin? Because I spoke a language other than English? I mean, English was primary language at home, but I also speak Spanish, and now I speak German. But at that time, you know, what was I supposed to do? This guy just hated me. And they're out there. They're still out there. This is 2016, and there are still people who live with nothing but hate in their heart. Yet other people love them. Other people show them kindness. Other people accept and tolerate their hate. This is 2016. That doesn't fly anymore. That really does not fly anymore. But they're out there. So what do we do as followers? Well, obviously, you can go report the individual. You can suck it up and drive on, because who was I going to report it to? It was his word against mine. I was a private. He was a non-commissioned officer. You know, that's just the way it is. Sometimes we're put in situations, but this was back in the 80s. This is not like it is now in 2016. I sucked it up. I sucked it up and I drove on and I moved on because I had no choice. I had no choice. You know, it's just the way it was. And that's the way it went. You know, now it's a little different. Now everybody's got a cell phone, everybody's got a camera, everybody's got a microphone, everybody's got a recorder, everybody can instantly tell the whole world when something goes wrong. Heck, look at what happened at the beginning of January, January 3rd or something like that. For one afternoon, and I'm not going to say the entire world, but a good chunk of the internet was enthralled with a puddle of water in Newcastle, England. That was 2016. That didn't fly in 1985. That did not fly at all. The next type of bad manager, Carl. Carl. You know what? Carl likes to know what's going on. No problem. Carl likes to look over people's shoulder. That's no problem. The problem is when Carl starts telling you, why did you use the word the instead of a? Why did you use the word left instead of counterclockwise? Why didn't you use this formula in your Excel spreadsheet? Why didn't you use this color in your... Why did you answer the telephone the way you answered? Why did you call that person by his first name and not Mr.? That's right. There are a lot of Carls out there that love to micromanage. And that's understandable. But again, what are they compensating for? Is it their lack of control? Are they afraid they're going to lose out on something? That's not a good thing, my friends. Micromanaging is a great way to find you and yourself getting alienated, getting pushed out. Because again, nobody likes a micromanager. They love a manager that lets people do their job. That makes them a leader. But when it comes time to micromanage, there are just some things you can't micromanage, and that's day-to-day operations. Now, obviously, if there's a need to micromanage, then that means there's a need to teach them. That means there's a need to stop what's going on and teach them what they're doing wrong and correct it, show them the right way, guide them down the right path, and then leave them alone. Let them learn, teach them, let them apply what they've just learned, what you just taught them, and then let them put that into practical application, practical use, and see what comes back out. And then if there's no need to micromanage, you move along. But leaders that micromanage 100% of the time, definitely not the way to go. And this leads me to the next type of bad manager. The one who intimidates. Now he intimidates because he's a micromanager. See, Carl. No. You know what? I'm going to go back. Brad was just like this. Brad was this kind of micromanager who intimidated. He would send out emails with the auto reply button, you know, that says that it's for the red receipt. Sorry about that. The red receipt, you know, comes back to him. It comes back to Brad. It says, so-and-so read your message. So-and-so read your message. So-and-so read your message. I kid you not. I was in Brad's office one afternoon and he stopped me. He goes, I need to ask you something. He goes, what's going on? How come your staff are not reading the emails? And I go, what do you mean my staff are not reading the emails? And my staff had to read all the emails because we were technology support. We had to do it. We were IT support. We had no choice but to read the emails. Well, I've been looking at this, and I sent an email out to the entire facility, all 200 and change. And only a couple of people didn't read it. I was like, this guy sat here and counted, I thought to myself. He really sat here and counted who read and who didn't read, how many people read it, how many people didn't read his messages. And I'm going, well, whether he read it or not, we did talk about it this morning when you first sent it out. We all talked about it. He even gave some input as to what we need to do and how we're going to approach what you're asking for. Well, he needs to read my emails. You know what? I'm going to go in there and I'm going to make sure he reads your email. Again, that's not the intimidation. The intimidation is the micromanaging. The micromanaging of individuals, of other leaders, of other managers, of other supervisors as to why their staff are not doing things. Because you know what? He probably doesn't know. He probably could care less. Maybe I told my staff person, don't worry about it, we'll take care of it. And that was it. He moved along. He probably didn't even have a chance to open it up because I'm the one that brought it up first. But this guy, through his micromanaging, he just kept digging a little further. So the next time he sent something out, he put a little note down there. He says, hey, Dave, make sure your staff read the email. How's that intimidating? How's that for intimidation? You know, Brad had some problems. Now, I'm not using this as my let's get back at Brad time. That's not my soapbox for that. No, it's not. But what it is that I need to share this with everybody because those people are out there just as easily and as quickly as Brad showed up in my organization and tried to save the world. He was just as quickly escorted off and gone, and we never heard from Brad again. And I'm not joking about that. Folks, that's it. That's pretty much it. That's all I've got to say about that. Like I said, there's plenty more, and I know you've got some examples out there. Send them on over, dave@davegira.com. Let me know what you think. Give me some input. Give me some feedback. Let me know what you're thinking about these bad leaders. They're out there, and they will continue to be out there. And if you want to be a good leader, then you need to recognize, sorry about that, you need to recognize when you are in too deep. You need to recognize when it's time to step back. And it's okay to step back. It's okay to look around and ask for help because you know what? That just shows them that you're not above them. You're with them. That you don't look down on them. You're not condescending. You're not afraid to ask for help. And that, you know what? They're going to trust you. And that's how you're going to build that trust. Because again, you're asking for help and they're going to provide it. They're going to help you. Because who knows? Some of them might just have been there a little bit longer than Brad. Because Brad was just a flash in the pan. We were still in the fire. Folks, don't be afraid to ask for help. And above all, don't become Brad. Don't become a bad leader, because once you become a bad leader, you're labeled a bad leader for life. And it's hard and it's difficult to get out of it, but, well, you'll still be a bad leader, but you'll be handling things a little bit differently. Listen, I thank you for listening. I thank you for, wow, taking this time and just listening. Again, I invite you to follow me on Twitter, at Dave Guerra. That's at DaveGuerra. And as always, drop me an email, dave@davegera.com. And of course, visit the website, daveguerra.com, daveguerra.com. Well, listen, until next time, I thank you for listening to this episode of the Walking Leader podcast. I am your host and author of The Walking Leader, David Guerra. Thank you. Good night. Have a great week. I'll talk to you real soon.